How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond our measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of sin.
Should I gain from His reward? The only answer I have to that is His mercy. Amen. And we will never understand the power of that and why He chooses us despite our failures. But you guys know this song. It's a powerful one. Mercy, mercy. Let's sing it out.
I find my life in You.
love of God. And I until this song came out, I had never heard that phrase to describe God's love before as reckless. And I've been a Christian a long time. And at the time when I heard this song, I thought, wow, that's just like, it's so true. Like, we can't understand why he loves us when we fail, because it is reckless. He often doesn't get back anything when we fail or when we continue to be bound by chains and things like that. So sometimes it must seem to him like, and he just, we just can't fathom it as humans why we would, because if a human did what to us, what we do to him all the time, it would make sense for us to love us, right? And so that's a good term, and I just think it's a really cool song. And the writers, you know, I really think that God has got his hand on some of these writers that are just making these powerful statements in worship that we can claim and really understand and grasp the love of God. So if you know this, sing it out.
All right. Well, welcome to church, guys. I'm so glad that you could come. And you know what? I want to say a big thank you. I really do mean this. And if you're listening at home, I'm so glad that you're tuning in. But the reality is those who are sitting in the seats, I thank you so much. You know, it's been changing so much. And I know that that's not easy. And I think about those things. I think about, wow, you have to call to reserve a seat. And there's been people that we've had to say, you know what, we're full. So it's strange. It's strange now that you just have to wear a mask. And I know that that's not been the easiest thing. I thought about this. I learned about myself. I was telling Heather when she came in. When I put a mask on for the first time and I went into Sobeys, I had something happen in my brain where I talked to myself. Now, I usually talk to myself, but it's not audible. When I put a mask on, I was talking to myself. And it was the strangest thing. And for some reason, because there's a mask, I didn't think people could hear me. Right? And so I'm walking around and I'm going, stupid arrows going back this way. And I'm looking for this lemon juice that I didn't know where it was. And the arrows were making it frustrating. And there's 45 minutes of my life that I will never get back when I was going down aisles and I'm talking to myself. And when I got to the cash, I'm going, stupid lemon juice. Praise Jesus. We finally found the lemon. And the lady's looking at me like I got rocks in my head. And I'm going, you can hear me. And she goes, yes. And I'm going, wow, I just learned something about myself. And she goes, what's that? And I said, I'm pretty sure that I've said terrible, awful things as I've walked through the store with a mask on, not realizing something had turned on in my head that I didn't know was there. So anyway, it's very inconvenient. But you know what? I think, who cares if we're inconvenienced? You know, today we're going to remember that Christ bled and died in public humility and shame for you and for I. And so, you know what, if it's a little inconvenient to come to church, that's okay. You know, I was thinking of David this week. I've been reading a book by Mark Buchanan called David, and it's a series, and I love his writing. I was so glad that he chose to do a novel, but the novel is about David. And there's this little observation that Michael, who was David's wife, you guys will know Saul's daughter, she was talking about David and how their relationship used to be. But I was thinking of that passage when the Ark of the Covenant came back home. And what did David do? I mean, they had these incredible sacrifices every few feet, and they killed a bull and they praised the Lord. And David, it says, danced naked before the Ark. And Michael, his wife, she had disdain. She kind of looked down from the window and saying, there's the king dancing naked. And what was David's response in that conflict to her after he was done? He said, I will become even more undignified than this for him. And I think about that. So I want to say again, thank you guys for jumping through the ever-changing hoops. I appreciate it so much that you are saying God is worthy, right? And if you're listening today, thank you for tuning in, because God is worthy. And that's what we've been talking about, this word that I received and I hadn't been able to escape. I said, we need to do a series on how worthy God is. And so over the last month, we've been doing that he should be the heaviest and most weightiest thing in your life. And when that's true, it says that we are yoked together with him and our life actually becomes less burdensome. When he is the heaviest, other things become lighter. Like, it's such an oxymoron. It's amazing, though, that he takes the worst of you and he gives you the very best. And it's kind of interesting. I said we're all made with very specific characteristics, and some of those characteristics we see as weakness, right? And so we're always trying to change and to better ourselves, but sometimes we've forgotten to check with the Creator. Because some of those very characteristics, he's made you that specific way. And as soon as you surrender that characteristic to him, he can use it to bring out the very best version of you, the 2.0 version that exists within you. And when we put those things in order, guess what? He empowers us. And last week, Kirtland kind of talked about this. He said, what is our appropriate response to him? It's when we give him the worth that he is due, when we place on him the value that he deserves. Remember that term, worth-ship. And it was beautiful. And he talked about how our compass should always be pointing at God. And it shouldn't be fickle. It should always point to God. God should be our true north. He should be number one, him and he alone. And when we're there, guess what? Then we're always thriving. When we're there, we're the best version of self. When we're there, we're safe in his fold. And so it's kind of interesting. Now again, this week, you guys, I've told you guys that this whole COVID thing has brought a lot of counseling out of the wood, so to speak. There are couples who are learning some of the things that maybe they've done poorly, and they've said, look, we recognize this because we've had so much time together. And so people have been coming in. We've been working on relationships. We've been working with some families. We've been working with some individuals. And I had this beautiful opportunity to share to someone who is a believer this week this reminder that, you know what, you as a believer are always in the crosshairs of the enemy. You are. Now, sometimes we forget that, don't we? And it's kind of interesting to me. Like, we find Jesus, we find forgiveness, we have all of this peace, we have all of this mercy and grace that we're taught about. And so then all of a sudden, we forget that there is a war that is raging all around us, all right? There's a war. And so this individual came to me and they said, Andrew, they said, you know what, I just don't understand why my life has been so hard lately. And I feel like part of it was COVID fatigue. Some of you know what that is. It's been setting in. It's having to call to get a seat for church, right? Another pressure, another thing to remember, right? And then it's, oh, do I have my mask, right? All those sorts of things. So there's all of this COVID fatigue going on, and I was trying to comfort this individual saying, first off, you know what? It's fair that you're having a bad day because we've been living it through a strange time, right? But I didn't want them to forget that, you know what, some of the things that you are grieving and some of the things that are making you sad have absolutely been poor choices. And they're like, yeah, I know. And I said, to make matters worse, you are in a spiritual war, and because you believe, the enemy is trying to take you out. And they were like, what? I'm like, yeah. You know what? The battle doesn't stop when you become a Christian. In fact, that's when it intensifies. I even had a couple this last week that came to me and they said, you know what, Andrew, it's time. We're going to get married. We're finally going to get married. We want God's blessing in our marriage. Should have done it before. We thank you for being patient with us, but we want to honor God with our union. And so we were talking, and I was so excited about them. It's something that I've been praying and hoping that they would do for some time. So they came in for their first set of marriage counseling, and all of a sudden this story comes up. I said, you know what? We've been together for a long time. We finally feel like we're going to say yes. The Holy Spirit has been convicting us, and instead of running from God, we're running to God. We choose to get married. We come in for counseling. Guess what happens that week? An ex from 12 years ago text one of them. Why? You think that's coincidence? Their first counseling session, and that very day, an ex from 12 years ago texts one of them and says, hey, I've just been thinking about you. You've been on my mind a lot. I'm wondering how you're doing. By the way, I just got divorced. And I was able to say, hold on! Do you not see that you are under attack, and this is going to be very, very real? You have to hear me, that as a believer, you are always in the crosshairs, and even more so when you're vulnerable. Do you understand, believers today, that the war doesn't stop just because you're tired? In fact, when you're tired, the enemy will take cheap shots at you. Do you understand that the battle doesn't end just because you're frustrated? In fact, when you are frustrated, the enemy will hit you harder. You see, it's amazing to me. We think, wow, I've just experienced a loss, or I'm just in pain. Surely there'll be a time of rest. No, in actuality, when you go through those things, the enemy wants to hurt you even more when you are vulnerable. John 10:10, remember this always, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus came that you could have life and life to its fullest. But it amazes me how many times we forget about that. Right? Like, we come to know the Lord and we go, oh, the battle's over. Woo, grace and mercy are mine. I'm going, hold on, whoa, take off the rose-colored glasses, son, because the battle's just beginning. They're like, what? I remember Lyndon Raymond when he first got baptized. He's saying, you know what? It's taken me 6 years to decide to be baptized, Andrew. And I'm going, Lyndon, I'm so proud of you. And he says, I'm just glad that now it gets easier. And I'm saying, hold on. He's like, what? I said, it doesn't get easier. Who told you that crap? And he's like, well, I thought that once I completely surrender to God, it gets easier. I said, no, that's when it gets hard. Right? I remember a week after his baptism, he came in here looking drawn out and tired, living on coffee and nicotine. And he says, Andrew, he goes, boy, were you right. I said, the devil been after you? And he goes, yeah. And I said, that's good, because that means he doesn't have you. Right? And I there, Lyndon, right? And he understood in that moment that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, what's interesting is that there's so many times in Christian lives where I see salvation, because you guys know that at heart, I'm an evangelist. I have no problem talking to somebody about Jesus, and God always gives me these divine appointments because I believe it to be obedience, because of my obedience. And so we start talking about bikes, we start talking about hunting, we start talking about livestock. The next thing I know, we're talking about Jesus, and I never have to bring it up. It's incredible, right? And then I share that there is a God who came to my rescue, and I share that it's no longer Andrew that lives, but Christ that lives in me. And so there's a lot of times, and I praise the Lord for this, that during the course of my life, I've been able to lead somebody to the Lord. I've experienced salvation of others. It's been kind of fun. But here's the interesting thing. It doesn't end then. So as a pastor, I'm able to watch that life, especially for those who are in our area that I'm able to share the Lord with, and I can push them further towards Jesus, because this is what I see. I see a lot of believers that stop. That there's seasons of our lives where we become static. And it grieves me, because, and then that's when the pastor kicks in, and I kind of want to give you a kick towards Jesus, right? And it often happens in times like this. So you go, wow, I have just experienced a terrible loss, Pastor, or I am in such pain, and I have gone through the battle, and now I'm going to sit down, and I'm going to lick my wounds. And I go, you could do that, but you know what? That's dangerous. And they're like, what are you talking about? I said, you just came through the battle. You're tired. You're in pain. And you want to lick your wounds? Don't lick your wounds too long, because that's when the enemy is going to be even more relentless. That there is not a time where, you know what, God should not be the weightiest thing in our life. There is not a time that we should forget that we are at war. And so I understand that sometimes, especially when we've gone through all of this, this COVID fatigue thing, that you know what, there are some in here and some listening online, that you're tired. I get that, but you know what, whatever you do, don't put down your shield. You may be tired, but don't let go of your sword. It's okay to have to kneel and take a drink, but bring that water up to your mouth, so that you could still look around, because the enemy is still firing at you. And I was thinking about this. You may be tired, but what are some of the titles that God has given us, right? And so again, I don't know if you hide his word in your heart like you're instructed to do, but how incredible is that? I hope you have favorite verses. I hope you know where they're found. I hope you know truth, because it's a truth that sets you free. It's in those times of attack that truth will come back and combat for you. Right? And so I was thinking, I've been tired, yes, through all of this, but I've remembered what the titles are that God has given me. Do you know that God calls you holy? Woo! That's incredible. God calls you chosen. God calls you free, and he calls you alive, and he calls you complete and transformed. He says that you're a new creation. He says that you're co-heirs with Christ, that you're greatly loved, that you are a child of God. He calls you sons and daughters, that you are a royal priest. Think about that with me. That you are a holy people, that you are God's special possession. Think about that. That you yourself are the very temple in which God indwells, and he calls you a conqueror, a warrior of the Most High. Think about that. Now, that's just a little bit of the list of who God says you are. Those are the ones that have helped me over the years, and those are the ones that I've memorized. That is the truth. When the enemy says and whispers in my ear that I'm a loser, I'm reminding him that I'm a prince, and I come from royalty. And if he wants to hit me, he finds out that I'm a warrior too. And so whenever the devil and I do battle, I'm not the only one who's bleeding. Do you see the difference? It's all because of the truth that I've hidden in my heart. How dare he attack my family? If he comes to my home, he will leave wounded. Now, he may wound, but let me tell you, he's limping away. Why? Because I know who I am in Christ. What a difference it makes. And beyond that, do you know the tools that you have? Again, understanding all of this, church, will help with COVID fatigue. Understanding all this will help with those times when you just want to sit down and lick your wounds. Here are the tools that are available to you. Do you know that you receive the power of the Holy Spirit himself? Wow. But yet, when I work in the church and I speak to the church, there's a lot of churches that don't understand the power that they have. Do you know that you've received the knowledge of God? How many times in our life we go, man, I just wish I knew what to do. You have the knowledge of God. Are you listening? Right? This idea that we've received mercy and grace, they're yours. Don't need to earn them. They've been given to you. A promise that he will supply all of your needs. Think about that when the bills are being stretched and the finances are getting hard, right? If we understood what is available to us, that he supplies all of our needs, that we have the armor of God. And yet, you know, again, it grieves me. 26 years, I've seen many churches, many believers, many friends who don't put on the armor of God. It's available and it's rusty. Some of it unmarked. And I go, oh, you are missing out on the journey, baby. And they're like, I don't understand, Andrew. And I'll say, that's right, you don't. Put on the armor. That power is yours. Fullness awaits you. That all authority in heaven and earth has been given to you. Those are your tools. Again, that's a small list. There's many more. Do the study. I want to challenge you. Those are the ones that have helped me to kind of remind myself that when I am at war, I'm not called to be a loser. Does that list make you sound like it's a defeated people? No. Do we profess that Christ has already won? Yes. Is Jesus still the answer? Absolutely. Then my question always is why are there so many churches that are in a mess? You want to know what one of my prayers has been this season? My prayers have not just been for you and for our church and for our community and for our country and even our leaders, right? My prayer has been that churches would be able to survive. Now I say that and you say, Andrew, what are you talking about? There are so many churches that giving has been disrupted so badly, and I praise the Lord and I thank you guys. We have not. You guys have been faithful. Praise God. But you know, there's churches that are struggling right now because they can't meet, and so people weren't putting their tithe in. Now, here's the other thing. Because churches haven't been able to meet, there's people that have gotten out of the habit. And again, if you're joining us online, no guilt in that. You're joining us online. Thank you. Thank you for making God a priority. But you need to understand that there are churches that are on the decline long before this ever began, and there's some churches that may not survive this. And does that grieve me? You want to better believe it grieves me. Why? Because local churches are the backbone and strength of every community across Canada, and there's many rural communities that are losing the meeting place all because believers are not being faithful. They've forgotten that the thief wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And what happens when he destroys a church? This is what happens. Think about this with me. The meeting place of the community, yes, of God, but the meeting place for the community is gone. There's children's programs that are gone. There's youth programs that are gone. There's counseling that happens for individuals, that happens for couples, that happens for families, and it's going to be gone. And you know what? They don't know what you got until it's destroyed. And it grieves me. It grieves me. And the enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And too often, we as believers have forgotten about it. We've forgotten about the war. And we get distracted. And what do we get distracted with? Well, the map on distraction is all over the place. I mean, these game plans haven't changed. The enemy hasn't changed. It's always been his strategy to distract you. And you'd say, well, what is his greatest distraction for me? It depends on what season of life you're in. But that's the reality, isn't it? Now, think about this with me, and maybe you've never been through these seasons, or maybe you're in the midst of one of them. But I've had people who say, you know what, Pastor? I'm going to get more involved in church. I am. I'm going to get more involved in the Word. That is a bigger flag. You don't have to come to church to be a Christian, but how come you're not in the Word when you're not here? I'm going to get more involved in ministry. I'm going to get more involved in my faith. All of those things scare me. They say, first, I just want to focus on getting the right person, the right relationship. And I'm thinking in the back of my head, you fool, how can you ever find direction for the right person and the right relationship if your God is second? Oh, Pastor, you know what? I'm going to get more time, and I'm going to get serious about that, but first I just want to get concentrate on being married. Pastor, I've just started a brand new career. You're going to see me. It's just, you got to give me a little bit of time. And I go, wow. Like this idea that God, excuse me, I'm too busy for you right now. Are you kidding me? When I am busy, that's when I need him most. Why? Because there is a war, and I am always in the crosshairs of the enemy. You see, the problem is we get distracted because we don't understand his worth. Kirtland touched on it last week in Matthew 8. This feller comes to Jesus and he says, I really want to follow you, Jesus. I really want to follow you. Just 1 minute. And Jesus says, what are you talking about? Follow. And he says, first I must go back and bury my father. What does Jesus say? He says, let the dead bury the dead. Crazy, but truth, that when we forget about the war, you just don't do yourself a disservice. You put your family at risk. You put the family of God at risk, and your reputation is on shaky, shaky ground. And yet, how many believers are fickle about the war? Galatians 2:20. Andrew is dead, crucified with Christ. It's no longer Andrew that lives. Who is it? It's Christ that lives in me. And that's why I get so excited about the baptism, right? There's no other thing that we do in the community. We try to love the community. We try to meet needs. We try to bless the community. We try to do a whole bunch of things, from building playgrounds to filling oil barrels. We try to do things to let people know that God loves them. But there is nothing more powerful than the testimony of somebody who, in obedience to Christ, says, it is no longer I that live. When I get my way, when I follow my roadmap, when my dreams come true, everything hurts, including me and those who are around me, that everything I do fails in comparison to the one I have been introduced to. And it's no longer me that lives, and that's what baptism is. It's this burial. It's, will you follow Christ? Yes. All the days of your life? Yes. Then it's no longer you that lives. It's going to be Christ that lives in you. And we go under the water, and it's no longer the same person that comes up. It's a testimony to the world of the story that God has given us. It's the story that he gives you. And I have people who don't attend this church who say every year, Andrew, when it comes to August, September, we are watching. And I'm like, what? They're like, yeah, we won't miss a weekend at the camp because we're waiting for the baptism. And I'm going, why don't you come over and join us, you moron? Like, you watch every year and you're excited about that. Why don't you come out on a Sunday and join the church and see what the excitement is all about? You see, he is worthy. He's worthy of my all, of my focus, of my moments, of my everything. You know, it amazes me. We forget this, church, Philippians 2:12. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Even if you believe in predestination, right? You want to have that talk with me? I would love to, because I'm way more Calvinist than most Wesleyans would be comfortable with. And here's the deal, because I understand the work of the cross, and what the victory over the grave was way big. Way bigger than me. But even with my confidence in the work that Christ has done, I am always aware that I need to work out my salvation with fear and trembling, and there is nothing
nothing beyond that that I need. That if they were to take my life today, I win. I win. What else do I need? He's given me all. And then I hear Christians who come to me and they confess, Pastor, I'm struggling with giving. Man, 10%'s a lot. Like, I'm going, are you kidding me? 100% of it is his. Yeah, I know, but giving 10%. I said, he let you keep 90. Like, as a principle. Is he worthy of 10%? Andrew, I just got to focus on my career. It's just begun. I got to focus on my career. I got to put down a good foundation. And I'm going, that's right. Why don't you spend time building bigger barns, even though your life could be required of you tonight? This idea, Andrew, you know what? I'm going to minister, and I'm taking Christ seriously, but I'm just too young. Are you kidding me? Be an example to them in your youth. Change the world. Well, Andrew, I'm too old. Are you kidding me? We just sang about it last week. If you're not dead, God's not done. All of this incredible blessing awaits us if we would understand the war in which we are and understand whose we are and the tools available to us, we would change the world. You see, this principle, again, that we've got it understood. Matthew 6:10, think about this verse with me. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Are those two good things? And he goes on to say, on earth as it is in heaven. Think about that with me. Thy kingdom come right here. And all that it takes is our surrender. Think about this. His will being accomplished. The only thing that's needed is you and I, like Isaiah, need to say, here am I, God, send me. His kingdom come, his will be done. Everything is waiting to change if we'd only understand his worth. He is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy. Revelation 4:3. Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you've created all things. He is worthy. The question comes down to this. Is what is he worth to you? You know what? No music, no buildup. I don't want to manipulate your emotions. I just want you to grab your cup and your wafer. I want you to know that the way we open it again is you take the transparent lip first, and that is going to peel back the wafer. But before you open it, I want to ask you this. Is what is he worth to you? This wafer represents his flesh, which was torn from his body, torn from his body. Limbs that would be pulled out of joint so that they could thrust nails through them. Tendons would be torn. Wounds would be laid bare. The heat of every cut felt over his entire swollen body, and then it was hung naked before the world for you. What is he worth? Let's eat and remember. The juice represents his blood. You know, much of his blood was already taken from his body in the beating. If you understand the chronological order of the cross and the punishment that Jesus took. So actually, when he went to the cross,
there was blood that was flowing, way more translucent because it was mostly just water draining from his body. And the cross was soaked, and the foot of the cross was soaked, and the perfect lamb was slaughtered, drained of his very life blood, so that you and I could find life. What is he worth to you? Drink and remember him. Everybody stand. Father, I pray. I pray with all my heart that we would remember the war that is raging all around us, that we would understand that even at our weakest, the enemy is relentless. I'm so grateful for the titles and the tools that you have given us, but more importantly, I'm so grateful for the victory that you share with us. I pray that we would never forget your worth. That we would never forget your worth. And it would change everything. Thank you for love. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. Thank you for saving us. And saving us in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.